Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Let's just pray right now. Lord, I just pray that you saturate us tonight. You've already met us here, Lord, already. And now, Lord, we are sitting at your feet. We're waiting on you, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you use me. My tongue be the pen as of a ready writer. Getting out tonight, Lord, what you want to be ministered tonight to these ladies. What you want, Lord. So we thank you now, Father. We set our hearts in agreement with you to pull on the very Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost tonight. The very Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, I could go around this room tonight and I could just pick out many people who have influenced my life. You probably could too. Some of you go a long way back with me. You know, it's always good to have four crazy friends.
Yes, yes.
Qualify crazy for the Lord.
There you go.
Yes.
Right. You don't want anybody that's not crazy for God. And you don't want anybody that doesn't love God more than you do. And you want somebody that can be honest with you and smack you with the word. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't, it's not what you think you need to hear. It's what you need to hear from God. And sometimes it takes a good friend to be able to say that to you in love. Right, Teresa?
Amen.
Amen. There are women in my life, Pastor Debbie being one of them, that you need to be careful who you let speak into your life. But I've got those friends. I got those friends sitting here in the room. I call Donna Hansen, the word Pillsbury Doughboy. Does anybody know what the Pillsbury Doughboy is? You know, he gets punched, and out it comes. With her, you punch her, and you're going to get the word. You don't get anything different. I mean, she's a woman of the, she's a wow woman. She's a woman of the word. Anyway, I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you know my testimony, and I'm not going to get into that tonight. I have a message from God for you, for every one of you. A life-changing word, and if you'll set yourself in agreement right now, you'll leave this place different than you came.
That's right.
And I'm here to stir you up because he does not want you to be the same when you leave here.
Right.
You know, my testimony is not about drug addiction. My testimony is not about, you know, getting into everything in the world that it could get. My testimony is one of the keeping power of God because when I look back over my life and I look at how God orchestrated everything to keep me, I didn't go wild for the world. I wasn't even interested in it. You know, I was raised in a family of six. Neither one of my parents went to church. Didn't take us. You know, I often heard that they got offended by church. Sad, right? Sad. But I remember that my grandmother, I would stay with her, and on Sunday mornings, she'd make sure that I got dressed and got out to the edge of the driveway, because here it goes. She didn't go to church, but she made sure I did. So, go figure it. You know, most times the testimony of praying grandmas, and maybe she was praying grandma, but she didn't go to church either. But it could get so funny because she's like, anybody remember crinoline slips?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy. I'm so glad they did away with those because I had to always wear these poofy little dresses, you know, and it just...
Itchy.
Itchy is right. You've been there. Okay. But anyway, I would get out to the edge of the driveway and my great uncle and aunt would pick me up and they'd take me to church and bring me home every Sunday. Thankful. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful And you probably have people in your life, or you're probably a person in somebody's life right now. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, when I got there, they had a choir. And I started in the choir age 5. And I've been singing ever since.
Wow.
I remember I was the tiniest one in the choir. So if any of you know about some of the denominational churches, they have these choir lofts. So I was the first one in and the last one out. But I was tiny. And the pastor there used to call me a singing cherub. I've maintained that reputation, wouldn't you agree? I remember in the 4th grade, some of you that went to denominational churches, this will probably ring a bell with you. I didn't hear about salvation for a long time, but I heard about confirmation. And, you know, confirmation being what it is, it does have its purpose. But I really didn't meet God in the way that I wanted to meet him. We have preconceived ideas sometimes of how we come to him. But I remember going to the confirmation classes and getting confirmed. And it was 4th grade, and I got a Bible. First Bible I ever had, I got in 4th grade. Well, you could have given me gold. I took that little Bible, and I held on to it with everything I had in me. I just loved it. And I loved mimicking the pastor. So, well, when I tell you what I did, you'll laugh. Anyway, I would come home from church, and this is on Sunday, and I'm coming back to my grandma's, and she had one of those kind of grand stairways that had the platform at the bottom of it. You've been in houses, old houses that have had it. Well, she had TV trays. Anybody remember that, TV tray days? Okay. I'd get that TV tray, and before we did lunch or anything, I'd plop that TV tray right on the bottom of that platform. I had my Bible, and I had the bulletin.
You were ready.
I was ready. So what I did was I preached what I knew, what I heard to her, and I went by the thing. We did the Apostles' Creed. We did everything, and then I sang what I could remember of the hymns. We sang them, you know, and then she'd look at me like, you know, and then I would preach what I remembered the preacher preaching. I would love to have had a video or a tape recording of it because I'm sure, it, as the saying goes, I'm sure it had a set on it. But anyway, at the age of 15, through some Christian teenage friends that went to church with me, I was led to the Lord. I had an encounter with God that I will never forget. Now, didn't hear anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I would have been wide open for that if that had come. But they didn't know anything about it. And it wasn't till, is Bonnie Charles here? I see her. Bonnie Charles finagled me into going to a Women's Aglow conference in Chewan, North Carolina. Is that where we went? I don't know. We went, though. We went. And I'm going to tell you what, when I got into that conference, I'm like, I have never experienced anything like this before, but I can tell you, I'm not leaving here without what they have. I'm not going to leave here without what they have. It was so beautiful. I felt like we had just, whoosh, gone up to heaven. I mean, I really, it was a divine encounter for me. And I got baptized in the Holy Ghost then, and I've been daily being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire every day of my life. Haven't stopped. It's been the greatest thing in my life through everything that I have been through. And I'm not going to get into that tonight because past is past. But I'm here to tell you, God can move in every situation. He is not limited. And things that we think, you know, could take us days to do, just like that. Now, I've got about 10 pages here, but in the time I have, I'm not going to be able to get through it. But anyway, I learned after that encounter the value of sitting in the presence of God. And I had an encounter, well, several nights, but I remember one night when Bonnie came over, and she walked into my house, and she said, "Good golly, girl, what's going on in here?" It was the presence of God. It was tangible. It was weighty. It was like a golden glow. And I'm like, it's a place I don't want to leave. And she didn't want to leave and go home. It does happen, y'all.
Yes.
It is real. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost is real.
Yes.
He is real. But, you know, as he took me on my journey, I was in some difficult times at that time, but I learned to listen to the Spirit of God. And I can remember one time I was like, I don't know whether to do this or whether I should do it or not do it. And I got to the place, and the person encountered me, and I said, sorry, got to go back home. Well, what's wrong? Anything wrong? Nope. Spirit of God just spoke to me. I ain't supposed to be here. So I'm leaving.
Amen.
I'm going home. God's going to figure this out for me. I'm learning to trust him. And you know what? We all need to learn to trust him and to trust him more every day. You know, in the environment I grew up in, I could have been anything but right here today. And some of you can testify to that. I could have been anywhere. I had every influence to go opposite direction. But you know what? It's the Spirit of God that just kept me. And I cannot fathom as I sit through services and I greet and meet people, I can't fathom why you would be not wanting to have the fullness of the Spirit in your life. That's why I have that theme I gave to Wanda. Fully ablaze, fire, fervent. Turn with me to Romans 12:11. One of my favorite scriptures. And you know, this is a glose. It's a glose scripture. Still is, right?
Yep.
Spent many marvelous years in a glow. Good golly Moses, yes. But I'm going to Romans 12:11. I'm going to use the Amplified, Quentin, if you want to throw it up there. It says, never lag in zeal. Romans 12:11. Everybody there with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. With the Spirit. Serving the Lord. If we can't fool ourselves and think that we can serve God if we're not in the Spirit. Can't happen. He's got to be a part of it. He's got to be directing it. That's what I love about the Holy Ghost, is that he just, I'm retired now, and I get up mornings and I just say, okay, Holy Ghost, where are we supposed to go?
Come on.
Yep. The only thing that I am truly committed to in the week is Healing Center, which I'm going to tell you, if you're missing Healing Center, you're missing your life.
Yes.
And I come to the corporate prayer on Thursdays. And, of course, I meet with my team. Isn't my team great? Don't you just love my team?
Woo!
Sound team?
Yes.
A blessing in my life. They're a blessing in my life, and I love each one of them. And men are gone now, but except for Ron. Ron. I love Ron. Annie knows I love Ron. So.
We all love Ron.
Don't we all love Ron?
Yes.
But when you think about all of the things in the world today, don't do it without God, number one, but don't do it without the Holy Ghost. There's something about when the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
There is a place.
Yes.
And I've encountered that. And you know, life goes a whole lot better in the Spirit.
Amen.
Than without it. And I'm here to push you tonight. I'm here to push you into that. You know, in my lifetime, I'm a problem solver. You know, at work, you know, I'm one of those type A problem solvers. Okay, let's get this straight. Let's go, let's do this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, when it comes to God, he could care less about a problem solver. It doesn't impress him at all. Because his ways are higher than our ways, right?
That's right.
Whole lot higher. And if you think that tonight you've got a situation or circumstance that he can't solve, I'm here to tell you, we need to revolutionize your thinking tonight before you leave here. And if you're living in an ordinary, mundane, don't know what about God and da-da-da-da-da, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is for you. Of course, you need to be saved, then filled with the Spirit. And most of you, I'm looking, most of you know that. But there's even a step further of being led by the Spirit. I am. Sorry about that, y'all. It was me, right? They usually say it's you, Vicki. Being retired, I just seek the Lord every day, what I'm supposed to do, and I have encountered a gentleman in my neighborhood, 81 years old. He'll be on May 10th, and struggling with cancer, heart condition, diabetes, and he just had three toes amputated. I don't want to give you all the gross things of that, but anyway, he called me in desperation, and I was like, oh, God, what do I do with this, you know? And I felt the leading of the Holy Ghost. Well, I know he's saved now. He's believing God for healing. We're going to get to the Holy Ghost. He's foreign to him, but we're going to get there. But anyway, I go in his house, and I just, you know what? I just am a servant, and I just buzz around. And so he's called me Buzzsaw. So when I go over to help him, because he can't do a whole lot right now, but he's believing God. He's believing God. And I'm just like, you know what? You got people like that in your neighborhood too. You know, as I think about the leadings of the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit, I think about the time that I was looking for a house. I'd gone through a difficult time and, you know, being a problem solver, I wanted to solve everything myself. Yeah, I laughed about it too till God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, hands off. I've got it for you. You know, because when you're in situations and circumstances, sometimes your mind just doesn't think clearly and you're too rushed to be somewhere that God's not ready for you to be. So I'll never forget it. Woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord said, you will not. Matter of fact, I talked to Lewis about building me a house. I was going to buy a property. Oh, I had it all gamed out. I was going to play it. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're not, I sat right straight up in the bed, heard the voice of the Lord said, you will not build a house. And your home will be in Cobbs Creek. And I said, well, okay, can I help you figure that one out? And he said, no, be patient. And you know what? Sometimes we're so anxious to run ahead of God, and we will make the most debacles you've ever seen. And if we just wait in his peace and his presence. That's why I like that song. It says, you'll find me in your presence. You'll find me on my knees. I'm going to work. Where's Donna too? She got that song. I'm going to worship through it. Worship through it. God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
And these are not, these are not just mere sayings. I'm trying to tell you there's another dimension you need to get in tonight. There's another place you need to get into tonight. And it's the place in the Spirit. You know, I know a lot of people just kind of want to back off and that kind of thing. But let me tell you something. I didn't know about the Holy Ghost until I experienced it.
Come on now.
But when I experienced it, I wasn't going to go back. And I'm not going to go back. I'm going forward. And I'm being led every day. But, you know, in finding a house, and then, you know, God taught me through that whole process just to wait on him. And you know what? If I took you to my house right now, you would say, it's like most people say, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That, I mean, when the realtor showed me the house, she walked in and said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She said, are you okay? I said, I'm more than okay. But here's something about God that maybe you haven't experienced before, but he knows the desires of your heart. You don't even have to speak them to him.
Yes.
You don't even have to tell him about them. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows it. So as I'm walking through this house, and the realtor looked at me and she said, why do you keep saying that? I said, because there are things in my heart that I love that God knows about, and this house has it all. When I finally counted, there were 39 blessings from God in this house. Donna Hansen went with me, and when I put my foot out on the grass, what did I say? I have the most perfect peace I've ever had in my lifetime. But if I had gone to Louis to build me a house, I'd have been, who knows what I might have faced. I don't even want to think about it. I really don't. But you know what? when you think about the Lord, if you're not in a place tonight where you can sit down and sit in His presence and trust Him, that's a place you need to get to.
Amen.
That is a place you need to get to. If you've got issues, problems, things you can't work out, the Holy Ghost knows what needs to be done. And He will work them out. He will work them out. He'll talk to you about it. You know, I came tonight to set your spirit on fire.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because there's another dimension.
Yeah.
There's another dimension you need to go to. And there's a dimension of totally relying on the Spirit of God in your life. And you might think I'm kidding, but I'm not. So I'm just going to do a few scriptures, and I don't, Pastor Debbie, we'll see. It may go to midnight. Is that all right? Okay. We can cut it off and go to my house. Have it back. You know, I just want to share about living fully, following the Lord. And when people come to you, you're going to be giving them what the, if you're prepared, you'll give them what the Holy Ghost needs for them to have. Not your own opinion. Your opinions won't get anybody anywhere. You know, so fully alive. God wants us to be fully alive in His Spirit. Okay? And it's like you're more aware of spiritual and heavenly things than you are of the natural and earthly things. You picking up what I'm putting down? Is it possible? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the way we as Christian ladies, and you know what, if there's somebody here and you say, I've never heard this before, oh boy, I got a message for you too, so you just hang on. You know, He wants us to be fully alive because we have, if we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we've got the life of God in us. Pastor Debbie, Teresa, a lot of us, Joanne, grew up with, we call them scripture songs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I sat down today and every Bible verse I read, I had a scripture song for it. And I said, this is something. But there was one called Fully Alive. I can see Bonnie playing the auto harp right now. Fully alive in your spirit, Lord, make me fully alive. Fully aware of your presence, Lord, Lord, make me fully alive. I can see her strumming that thing right now. You know, so we need to become more conscious of God than the situations we face. Okay? And you don't want to be a casual visitor in God's presence. You want to be a permanent resident.
Amen.
Every day, every day. You know, two of my favorite people, you know, I call them heroes of the faith, whatever, John G. Lake. I am amazed at John G. Lake's faith and fearlessness. You know, he stuck his hand out with a bubonic plague in it and said, put it under the microscope.
That's right.
Dead as a doornail. The law of life.
Yes.
The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I encourage you to read anything by him if you want to, be set on fire, read stuff by him. And the other one is Smith Wigglesworth. He's not a foreign name, but these are people I grew up reading about. And you know, when I think about Smith Wigglesworth and Polly, I probably would have cracked him with a frying pan. That, I'm just saying. I've been saved since then, but I'm just saying. You know, she just goes out and picks it up and just goes in. What do you want for breakfast, Smith? And I would have said, you little buzzard, you. I mean, you. That was before I would be saved. Now, so. Yeah, but you know, we don't want to be just when I need him. You need him every day.
Yes.
Do you realize that you don't have breath in your body but by the Spirit of God?
Right.
When you were born into this world, the Word says He breathed into your body. So you have, you know, so okay. You feel the stirring coming up in you now? Okay. You know, I don't know. Living in His presence and His power, His presence and His glory, like we sang tonight. The glory of God, the kesed of God, is He's weighty. It's weighty with everything you could possibly need. You know, I often tell people, if you, and I look at it this way all the time, I can either stay in the natural and walk, or I can come over here and walk. Don't want to do this anymore. I want to do this. I want to stay in the Spirit, fully alive, ready, serving the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, you're getting it. You're getting it. And you know, when we think about the Ephesians prayers, and I think about all the things that God has given us, you know, God's word is true. You're not going to find anything false in it. You're not going to find anything that you can't put your faith in and trust God with. Amen? Okay, if you didn't think that before, start thinking it now. His word is true. His word is faithful. His word is steadfast. It's immovable. It's not going to change. And when you come into circumstances and situations, what are you going to choose? If you're in the Spirit, you're going to choose the word of God and to stand on it. Right? Or you can stay in the world and you can have haphazardly whatever comes the devil's way. You know, Pastor Chris preaches here. I'm telling you what, anybody that can leave here and not get blessed by the Word of God, even if you've heard it 400 times. You know, I was in Brother Hagin's meetings, used to go every summer. We used to go to Brother Hagin's and I get there and he said, well, I'm going to teach you on faith these next 5 days. I said, oh, Lord. I've heard and read enough about faith. Can you move on to something else? Well, the Lord just jerked the slack out of my chain and said, you obviously haven't learned. You obviously haven't learned. And I hadn't. I was looking for spectacular. Faith is spectacular. The faith in God is spectacular. But, you know, think about the things that God has given us. Like in Ephesians 6:18, if you want to turn there, it's all about praying. I'm a worshiper, but I am a prayer. I prayed for the last 2 days. I'm telling you what, couldn't get out of the Holy Ghost and didn't really care if I did. Didn't, you know. But, you know, it says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Now, I can understand why Smith Wigglesworth said, I don't pray all the time, but I don't go 5 minutes, right, without praying. That's pretty steady. That's pretty steady. You know what? All right, no show of hands. Okay, but I just want to know if there's anybody in here that does that. I'm looking at faces. Pray all the time. He says, somebody asked him, he said, how long do you pray? He said, well, I pray all the time, but I pray. How's it go, Pastor Debbie? I pray. I know, it's trying around to my time. Anyway, he doesn't go 5 minutes without praying. I'm like, gee, money, Christmas. Yeah, he's in continuous atmosphere of prayer. Yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help me with that. You know, but prayer is one of the ways, you know, after you receive the Holy Ghost, prayer is one of the ways that you stay in communication with God. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, to that end, we need to keep alert with strong purpose, watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of the saints, God's consecrated people. Now, if you think you were born into this world alone, I hate to tell you, that's not true. You were born into this world to minister to people.
Yes.
And you can't minister if you don't have anything, right?
That's right.
If you don't have it, you can't give it. But staying in the Spirit and praying, you will get it. Think about this. In the Spirit is not how we pray, but the place we pray.
Good.
Okay? God is the Spirit. He lives in the Spirit. We go to the throne of grace where He is. It is a most precious place to be. And you go there from a place on earth, right here. There's no distance in the Spirit. And remember, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. That is one of the hardest things I had to learn, is that I can't yak, you know, to God and give Him everything and then say, got to sit in His presence. Got to sit there. You know, Hebrews 10:22. This is bothering. I got to shift here. Sorry. Hebrews 10:22 says to draw near to God. His awareness to rise in your heart until you sense His presence within you. And how do you get there? Sweet communion will take place when you have entered in. And it's not like talking to somebody in another room. It's like, I'm talking to Pastor Debbie right now. And it gets more intimate than that. Sometimes I find it very hard to sit and not say something, but I've learned that's the best place for me to be so that I can hear the voice of God. You know, when you're praying from that place, it's just as easy as breathing. It's lifestyle by that time. And, you know, when you worship, you know, we're in a place where we are consciously caught up. That Let the Glory Fall takes me to another place, that song. It just does. And it's the presence of God, you know, and that's where He lives. I want to go where He lives. Hallelujah. Midnight's coming, Vicki. Okay. I want to just tell you that it's real. I'm not talking about something that's not real. But I'm telling you, where you are right now, you need to kick yourself out of that place. And you need to get to this place. You need to move.
Yes.
You move. We get complacent. You need to move. Let's look at, I just want to show you some of the things. How many of you remember the Bible story about Elisha's servant? And they were going to battle against the Syrian army. I've heard it a lot lately. And that portion of scripture, I think it's 2 Kings 6:17, and I'm not going to go to the Bible tonight, but if you want to go there. But the thing that I liked about the prophet Elisha in this is that he had somebody with him that had not encountered God or seen what God could do. You know, and we find ourselves in that place too, where, you know, I don't know what God might do in that situation. But what I will tell you is that He will do something. But they were in this situation in Gehazi. I love Gehazi. You know, if I had another child, I'd name him Gehazi because I think it's really, you know, a cute little name. But Gehazi's like, he's panicking. He's in panic mode because he sees a Syrian army coming. And what are we going to do, Elisha? What are we going to do? And then Elisha turns to the Lord. He's been in the spirit. He turns to the Lord and said, God, just open up the sky. Just open up his eyes. Let him see. And what's the word? There are more with us than there are with them. And that army turned on itself and became prisoners. Can you do that? Think about it. You could if God told you to do it. You could. You could. You know. So I'm not displaying pipe dreams. I'm just telling you God is real. And we need to get ourselves in a place of the supernatural moving of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. You know, think about this. In the spirit, there are resources beyond our own availability, what we can tap.
That's right.
Resources. You might leave here tonight and you need a heavenly resource. And the Bible talks about heavenly resources. You know, God precisely meeting the needs of the moment and answers that can come directly from the throne of grace. Supernatural works of God sent forth to heal, save, and deliver. Heal, save, and deliver. It's not us doing it. It's just the obedience to the Spirit of God. You know, Galatians 5:25 says that if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. I know y'all have read it 1,000 times, but the revelation of it is, it's the place to be. You know, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We have our life in God by the Spirit, so let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. You know, if more in this world that we're living in, if more people were controlled by the Spirit, wouldn't this be a great place to live? Holy moly, that's what I say. What do we need to do? Preaching. So, you know, Jesus even showed us in his own life that he lived there in the place of the Spirit. How do you think he got money to pay his taxes? I mean, think about it. I'm just putting things out there. You know, did he ever suffer lack? I don't think so. I mean, God told him, go to the fish. There's what he needed. I don't know when y'all have been down to the beach bank and encountered a fish and he spit out the money you need to pay your taxes, but Hey, I'm all for it. Did Jesus ever go through a storm? Do y'all remember a storm? What did he do? Why did he sleep? He'd been in the spirit that day. He lived in the spirit all the time, though. But and what did he do? He stood right up and said, fill my blanks. Peace be still. No less for us if we're in the spirit, okay? You know, you hear a lot of things nowadays, but my word to you tonight is quit complaining about the government. Quit complaining about the economy and everything else, and get in the spirit where the answers are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As I say, okay, if you see me doing this, who knows what that means?
Petting the cat.
Everybody do this, and you're going to remember this. Don't pet the cat. You know why I say that? Because it's nobody in this room, okay? But have you encountered people that just want to hold on to things and just they've encountered the Word of God time and time and time and time again, and then come right back and you ask them a question, and they come back and they tell you the same thing. And I'm like, quit petting that cat. God does not want us to be in bondage to anything. Sickness and disease, give me a break. That's not his desire. Poverty and lack, not in the kingdom of God. I told the Lord the other day, somebody said something, and I said, well, God owns cattle on 1,000 hills. And they looked at me like, are you nuts? I said, the Bible says it. If he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, 1,000 hills, not one hill, but 1,000. Think about it. You know, it'll ring your bell when you think about some of the realities of God, doesn't it? You know, so living fully alive in the Spirit is how we believers must live. I'm telling you, time is over. Time is over for naught. I don't want to say it's a warning, but it really is a warning. Time is over. You have everything. And if you don't have it tonight, you can get it.
Yes.
You can get it. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. All right. You know, God's blessings are in the spiritual realm. You have to learn how to tap into it. You know, everything that pertains to life and godliness, financial blessings, healing, deliverance, but most of all, the spiritual blessings. The ammo. Y'all like ammunition? The ammo is in the spirit. Every circumstance, every situation, everything for life. You know, Ephesians 1:3, may blessings be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, given by the Holy Spirit in the heavenly realm, all kinds of things. Spiritual weapons, you know, that'll preach itself. Spiritual equipment, that'll preach itself. Spiritual gifts and anointings, you all have it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. You know, so when you think about moving in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, you won't get it unless you need to learn and become fully alive. Okay? Have y'all ever dealt with a dead person? Maybe not. Okay. It's hard to activate them, is it not? You could raise them from the dead if the Lord told you to, right? Yes, definitely. So I just want you to think, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What was glory hoping for with Christ in you? Think about it. Just think about it. Christ in you, the very fact that you could be saved and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, That was the hope of glory. So you can be used by God in greater ways. Think about, I'm just going to speak to this church because this is where I go, but I'm just thinking, I think about on Sunday mornings, if everybody in here was lit up like Buzzsaw me, if everybody was lit up with like me, you're talking about turning the world not upside down, but right side up. Preaching, teaching, speaking, laying hands on the sick, the whole, you know, Mark 16, the whole thing. You know, I have so many things I could say tonight, but, you know, I think about Acts 12 and Peter being in prison. People were praying. Did they know that day what they would be praying for? Probably not. But they were praying for an apostle that was in jail, probably going to meet the end of his life. And what happened? Had a little angel company, a little party for the angels, and they came in and they shook some chains and stuff like that. And, you know, all of a sudden he appears and everybody's like, whoa, that can't be. It can't be. We've been praying for it, but it can't be. Well, dear God, what were you praying for? That's what I say when I read that scripture. What were you praying for? If you didn't expect to see him, what were you praying for? Hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But anyway, success always comes in the Spirit. And it is a place. It is a place. But how you get there? Being saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Getting in the presence of God. Think about this. Our launching platform, how we get there, is worship. And, you know, a lot of people think that worship is singing. I'll be the first to tell you as a worship leader, it's not just singing. Singing is a vehicle. Worship is a lifestyle. You can worship God without a song. And that's where you should be. Songs should come from your worship. Amen? Who's that, Tom? Hallelujah. You know, when we remember where we're seated, where are we seated? Right hand of God the Father. What a place to be. You see things from a different perspective when you're there. A whole different perspective. I've had God just jerk the slack out of my chain. You know what that? You'd be sitting there and you got a one mind thought going the other way and God just says, nope, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Okay, you know, let's see what you can do. No, I didn't say that, but, you know. You know, you think you had a good idea, and yet, you know, God's got the great idea. So. But anyway, the higher you go in God and in the Spirit, the smaller things become that are facing you. Have you experienced that? Okay. So where do you want to be? I don't want to be in the natural. I live in the natural. And, you know, we're sojourners here. This is not our home.
That's right.
We're just here for a time. That's it. You know, the other thing, prayer. Endeavor to live your life in a permanent place in the Spirit, in the prayer, in prayer. You know, I hear Pastor Debbie talking about getting up 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to know who else in this room gets up at 3 o'clock. Don't raise your hand. That's okay. I'm glad you do. I'm glad, because I get up at 3 o'clock too. I was always kind of concerned about, oh, I'm going to lose sleep, Lord. Well, it just doesn't happen. He makes up for it. But, you know, when we think about entering into that place of the Spirit and entering by faith, you have the blood of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus, which is the most powerful name in the world. He's given it us to use. You also use the Word of God in prayer. You know, entering into the place. Get a scripture, that kind of thing, and remind you of your faith. And who God is. He's the biggest thing I know. Now I want to talk about God's Word. Because I don't know how old y'all were in your fourth grade. Somebody tell me. It's been a long time since I was there. Nine. When I was nine and I grabbed the Bible and I would hold it to my heart. Like it was. At that point in time in my life, it still is. The most precious thing in my life. So I'm going to just put these glasses on. I have a pair of big, big glasses that I was going to bring, but I said, you know what, God, I'm going to try to be serious and not comical. But, okay. So when we look at God's Word, okay, you look at God's Word with different lenses. Different way. You know, you can read the word to yourself and it'd be just dry as a cork. But the Spirit-inspired word will speak to you and move you to action. Amen. God's love and His love loves to send His word to deliver us. That's what He gave it for. Have you ever gone to the scriptures and you open up and, my gosh, that's exactly the scripture I need. I've had that happen several times in my life and some most critical times, and I'm like, did I need that? Yeah, the answers are right here. You don't need to go anywhere else. You don't. You know, and Psalm 107:20, we say it all the time here, is He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And I know here Pastor Chris has preached on deception, but listen to this. The Word of God, the Word of God is God's protection for deception.
Good.
Protection from deception. So if you hear something and it's not in the Word, let it go. Not worth it. You know, true faith in God always acts in line with what it believes. True faith never acts contrary to what it believes. True faith, think about it. True faith. True faith is always accompanied by corresponding action. Right? Think about this. I'm just going to just... I believe that God is faithful. Then why am I depressed? Think about it. Pause. Selah. If I really believe God will repay vengeance, do y'all know that verse? Because I've quoted it many times in some situations. God quickly turned me around. I'm all right. Why am I trying to clear my own name? I don't have to. If you really believe you are healed, why are you not getting up and getting out of bed? Yeah. And don't say what's contrary to the Word of God over your life. You know, Bonnie Parker here. I thought I saw her. There she is. Bonnie Parker used to come to my house. Okay, we'll get out of here before midnight. Bonnie Parker used to come to my house 3 mornings a week at, 6 o'clock in the morning? Because that's the only time I could meet with her. Kudos to you, Bonnie. We went, 3 years? Anyway, there were other people that wanted to join us, but they just didn't have the guts to get up in the morning. But I remember one person coming, and the whole time it was like we would do, you know, do the word, and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and she would say something contrary to the word, and I'd look at her and I'd go, crop failure. That's a crop failure. Y'all know what I mean? Speaking something contrary to the word is crop failure. You just planted something you don't want. If you live in the Spirit, you won't plant stuff like that. Now, as I close tonight, I just want to... Brother Hagin has a prophecy, and it's so right for right now. 1973, been a long time ago. I guess we was... I don't know if we were in Oklahoma during that time or not, but anyway. It says, "For the unseen realm shall become as real to you as the seen realm." Prophecy. "You shall live, operate, minister in the realm, and bring the blessings of heaven in answer into the lives of people." You shall live, operate, minister. Three key words. "Surely you are on an ascending scale." Doop. "You are on a path, a spiritual highway, and you are moving into God. You are going higher and higher and higher. And there is preparation in every step and every height that is gained. In the Spirit, there is always the answer. In the Spirit is where you'll always be successful. In the Spirit is where you must dwell. You will be amazed. You'll be amazed at what will come out of your mouth and what you will tell. For more and more of you will go into the Spirit. Like a river, you will flow. And the new I am beginning to show, revealings, revelations, unveilings are now before you. For you are ready. You are ready. And some would say, how can that be? I don't feel so ready. But the Lord would say, it's your heart hunger and your desperation for me that makes you ready. So, in closing tonight, I'm going to put back my natural glasses, okay? That was my word glasses. All right. I know. Y'all remember this. I know you will. Fully alive in the Spirit, serving God, being more aware of this earthly realm, it's where you need to be tonight. You know, if this has ministered to you, then I want you to listen to me. God is calling you tonight to be born again. If you're in here and you've not been born again, my golly day, give your heart to Jesus. It's an adventure you will never, ever regret. I'm going to tell you what, it's the best thing I ever did. You know, he loves you with a love that is incomprehensible. You can't even right now sitting in that chair fathom it. You know, and he does not care where you've been in your life. Actually, he could care less. He could care less. He is here to take all of that and give you a new life in him. I just love it that God is that good. Don't worry about the person that's next to you or what your family or friends might say. Oh, Lord, I used to be persecuted by my father unmercifully. I just, you know, religion. Oh, no, I have a relationship. He met the Lord, home plate played, but he's there. Praise the Lord. The time is now to get your life straight. If you have not sold out to Jesus, tonight is the night for you to get your life straight. Because I'm telling you, there's one that will welcome you in heaven, but there's also another who will take you to the pit of hell, and I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. It's too serious. You know, if you've slipped away from God tonight, you might be here and you've slipped away from him and you're not where you need to be. All I can tell you is that I see him right now with open arms. I saw this in the Spirit. I just see him with open arms, waiting to welcome you back. There's no one like God and his love. Don't wait. Do it now. Get it done tonight. And if you're saved and you want to live this fully alive in the Spirit life, then you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. When it comes to the things of God, you cannot be ashamed or embarrassed. Goodness gracious, don't be found ashamed of anything of God or embarrassed by it. You know, oh my gosh, you know, don't preach that, don't say that, whatever. Well, you know, get over it.